Take your Bible and turn back to 2 Kings and chapter number 20. 2 Kings and chapter number 20. And if you have an old Schofield, it's on about 447. Let me read that first verse. We continue on with seeing Hezekiah as king. But in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We do pray for those needs that were mentioned. Pray that you'll meet those all according to thy will. We do pray as we look into thy word, speak to our heart. Pray the Holy Spirit of God will speak to each and every one of us, and we'll draw closer to thee, Lord. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, Hezekiah's last 15 years, in verses 1 to 11, Hezekiah's sickness and recovery. In verses 12 through 19, Hezekiah's pride will lead to problems. And then in verse 20, Hezekiah's death. Hezekiah was one of the good kings of Judah, even though after the son that he had was one of the worst. He, of course, as you think of him, Hezekiah was a son of King Ahaz. He also was a wicked king. Hezekiah's son Manasseh will be evil, but in the end of his life, he turns good. Something is hard to understand. Hezekiah, as well as Manasseh's mother, is mentioned. I remember hearing Dr. McGee say one time ago, and there may be truth to it, that when the kings are mentioned, it doesn't always mention the mother. But he brought out the thought that usually when the mother was mentioned, it may be that that mother had an influence upon that son. That may have what have happened to Hezekiah. His father was a wicked king, but his mother may have been a godly woman and led him in that right direction. But we do not know, but that's something I guess even we see today. There are differing opinions about scholars about the birth of Manasseh. Some believe that he was born before this time that his life will be extended. Some believe that it happened later. And of course, some of the older prophets are the one that looked to the older thought that he died, he was born after this date. But we'll look at that as we go through it. And also in 2 Chronicles 32, as well as Isaiah 38 and 39, addresses this chapter, so you can always go to them and usually find a little more that you can put these all together. But let's look at this, Hezekiah's sickness and recovery. Now, sick unto death, this would be some hard news to receive, and especially as Hezekiah, who has been a good king and trying to follow David, his father. Now, of course, I'm speaking of his father from times back. And the Lord sent Isaiah, the prophet, with the news to the king. This is also believed by most to be taking place along with the attacks of Assyria. Remember last week in our study in chapter 18 and 19. Many believe that at the same time that he was having the problem with the Assyrians, that also the sickness was involving on him too. Now this would also be choosing the one to assume the throne and to be bring a problem, as your view is whether Manasseh was born before or after. Now some view him as co-reigning with his father 10 years and would make him 22 years old. Others believe that he was born after this time, as most of the older scholars believe that he was built, came after that time. Now look at verse 2 and 3. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in the sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now he pours out his heart to the Lord. You know, it's what we often think of, and we've looked at these verses many times, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And in those verses, it's really in the sense of those verses to pray about everything and worry about nothing. But really and truly in that it speaks of prayer in Philippians. He speaks of prayer, which speaks of prayer in general. And then there's supplication. Supplication is what you get down to the nitty-gritty. You know, prayer just speaks of general needs, but supplication speaks of something like this. He's praying that God would extend his life. Now, just telling the Lord exactly how you feel. You know, there's times I think that every one of us come to that place. Prayer as he wept before the Lord. But notice verses 4 through 6. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Now, here we're seeing and getting a hint that God spoke to him. Now, I can't explain it, how maybe the prophets before, maybe someone has the answer, I don't see it in the scripture, but how God got his message to the prophets. I can think of us, oftentimes the Holy Spirit, now we have the completed word of God, and I know oftentimes, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit speaking audibly to us, but I think sometimes as you think of a problem and, you know, some scripture comes to your mind, I think that's kind of the Holy Spirit guiding you to the truth. Now, I don't know how God spoke to him, but he got his message across. Now, look at verse 5 and 6. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David and thy father, I have heard thy prayers, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thee 15 years. And I will deliver thee and the city out of the hands of the king of Assyria. And I will defend the city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now God answers his prayer. Now some would say, well, is God changing his mind? Well, God's not changing his mind. God knew what he would do all along here. He was going to do, and he bringing Hezekiah to the place of brokenness before the Lord. The Lord will heal, and the third day Hezekiah would go up to the temple and the Lord would give him 15 more years. But you know, still, he's going to know that day is coming. I wonder what he was doing when that 14 years, 364 days, I guess, came, that he knew that it was over. But this verse brings that out. Now, the Lord will give him 15 years of life, and the last part of this verse, also the saving of the city from the Assyrians, is believed to tie with his sickness here, that probably at the same time that we studied last week in chapter 18 and 19, this sickness had begun in his life. And as you read Isaiah 38:9-20, the king's psalms of praise, Hezekiah was fearful of death, and he wanted to stay alive to finish his reform and to treat and the threat of Assyria. Some say that you had the permissive will and the perfect will. And of course, is this God's permissive will allowing him 15 more years, or is it his perfect will? You know, I think there's several of the older scholars that take the thought that really him praying and getting 15 more years, maybe God was his permissive will, and some have thought with that really, and they believe that his son was born after these years, that they may think that it's God's permissive will, because we know his son will be evil at first, but at the end he won't. Now there are other scholars, and most of them younger scholars, they believe that he was born before this time. And some believe that he had no children at this time, but we do not know all the facts. But I'll leave that with the Lord and why the Lord did that. Others say that Hezekiah had no heirs and his prayer was not selfish, for he alone and the Lord had promised that an heir would come from David to take the throne. Also, I said in the introduction, some believe chapter 21, verse 1, speaks of him co-reigning with his father, and he would be at least 22 years old, but I don't know for sure. But we do know there were some positive things that happened in these 15 years. In Proverbs 25:1, it speaks about during this 15th year, men of Hezekiah putting the Old Testament scripture in order. And of course, they did a great job in taking the scripture and bringing it all together that they had at that time. He also improved the water system of Jerusalem and cleansed the land of idols and led the people back to God, the true one to worship. And we know in 2 Chronicles 33, 11 through 19, that Manasseh, he did begin as a wicked, evil king, but he did repent towards the end of his life. But 2 Kings 23, verse 26 and 27, he had sinned so much that it didn't stop from taking the time that Judah will be taken in, not by the Assyrians, but by the Babylonians to captivity later on. He gave him a sign by a shadow on the sundial going backward. Different opinions of whether God healed and giving him 15 years was his perfect or permissive will. But one day we'll find out. But there are differing opinions among certain scholars. Now notice secondly, Hezekiah's pride will lead to problems, verses 12 to 19. At the time of Berabdesbadan, the son of Baal-Adan, king of Babylon, sent letters and presented unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Well, here he gets a get-well card from Babylon. But we will see this will bring out problems with the consequences to come later on. As we will see, Hezekiah didn't have his thinking cap on, as we see these next few verses. As Hezekiah, notice verse 13, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spice and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in the treasure. There was nothing in his house nor in all his domain that Hezekiah showed them not. Now, Hezekiah had a problem, and we believe at this point was a little pride. This is also recorded in 2 Chronicles 32, 24 to 31, and it speaks of his heart was lifted up with pride, all that he had. Notice in verse 13, he used the words his, and he gets back to that old problem of me, myself, and I, or one has said me-itis, all wrapped up with himself. Warren Wiersbe says, what Assyria could not acquire by force, Babylon accompanied by guile, as he just shared with them everything about all the riches of his kingdom. After the Lord healed him, as well as spared the city of Jerusalem, it led to pride and, of course, an alliance with Babylon. As you study 2 Chronicles 32, 27 to 30, it sounds a lot like Solomon in verse 30. They brought water directly into the city, a part of defense, and in this, the God was testing Hezekiah to see if he would trust him or he trusted his riches. His vanity will cost them later, for we know that Babylon will take the southern kingdom into captivity later on. Now in verse 14, the prophet inquires about his visitors and leads and learns that what they were from Babylon. And a message to us today, we usually stumble and do foolish things on the mountaintop. You know, it's usually where Christians fail today, isn't it? It's not usually when you're in the foxhole, so to speak, or you're going through the troubles of life because you're usually close to the Lord. But you know, when everything's so going so right and so great, if we're not careful, instead of looking to the Lord, we begin to look to ourselves. And that may have been what the pride was coming from in Hezekiah. Look at verse 15. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Now, he didn't heed the words that you hear in the colonies years later. Trust God and keep your powder dry. He's opening up to the enemy. They didn't need any spies to know what Israel had and what Judah had and all the riches they had. When you get wrapped up with pride, it can lead you to do some strange things. And when we get to chapter 25, when Babylon returns and destroyed the city, they had their shopping list already made up. They destroyed the city and the temple, and they took all the gold and the valuables that Judah had. Look at verse 16 through 18. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the words of the Lord. Behold, the day come that all that is in thy house and all that is in thy father's have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall make them eunuchs in the palace of the kings of Babylon. Now this is a prophecy that the Lord had given Isaiah. In 2 Kings 25, 1 and 2 Chronicles 36, it was fully fulfilled as Isaiah spoke for the Lord, and also Jerusalem in chapter 25 will be in captivity. And Jeremiah brings out also in chapter 25 of Jeremiah that they will be in bondage for 70 years. And just as Assyria, they would take the brightest and royal to make their government better. Remember when we were studying before about the northern kingdom. They would take the people who were rulers and people who really knew how to lead and all, and they would make them part of theirs, but they would not be the one taking and making the decisions. And we know that probably, as we studied Daniel several times in the past, that Daniel and his friends would probably be some of those that would be there in Babylon, for we know that he was there. And as time passed, the nation turned back to their idols, and the northern kingdom did as the northern kingdom did, and it brought captivity to the southern kingdom. How riches and pride affects the lives of people. You know, the lost, so many of the lost people allow riches to keep them from Christ. And you know, as Christians, if we're not careful, we can allow riches and things of the world to become our idols, and of course not serve the Lord as we should. And as he here, we see that we need to be aware about when we're on the mountaintop and when everything is so fine. It is usually there where we kind of defend on ourselves, and of course when pride comes in. Now look at verse 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Now, kind of pious, and really, it's not showing any humility. The word of God, of course, is always good, and it's always true, and it's right. But you know what he's saying here? Isn't it wonderful there'll be peace in my life? But he's not thinking at all about his children and those that would come after him. God is showing mercy of having peace in his time, and his attitude can hardly be rated very high. He's just looking at his own time. We think of the conditions of our country, and we see all that's going on, and we see the importance of drawing close to the Lord. We are believers. We need to realize that we need to get busy getting the Great Commission, see, running people to Christ and bring them into a local church and teaching them the Word of God so they can do the work of God. Because, you know, really and truly, as one has said, we could just be one generation ignorant of the Word of God completely. And you know, as you look around us, there's been a whole lot of folks that there are churches and denominations that once was true, but they're far from God and far from His Word. Look at verse 20. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his father, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Now the 15 years of his life was extended. As stated before, we can add much to what the record here says as you study 2 Chronicles 32 as well as Isaiah 38 and 39. You know, it kind of goes along with what Peter tells us to compare Scripture with Scripture in 2 Peter 1, verse 20 to 21. We always come to this part. We come into this life and we depart this life. He departed and is believed to have died in 686 B.C. The all-important thing is what you do with your life in between that two dates, your birth and your death, and especially what you do with receiving the Lord or rejecting the Lord, or I might say even a Christian who's truly saved. As we go and we get saved and we trust the Lord and we get away from the Lord, and of course that's not the place to be as a Christian. You be a believer and you'll be in heaven. But what do you think it's going to be like to be a Christian when you see people stand before the Lord and you hear what they've done and God says, you know, that they were worthy and honors them, but to look in the eyes of the Lord Jesus and said, well, I trusted you, my Savior, but I didn't do a whole lot. I didn't do anything. How that's going to be to us at that time. But you know, in conclusion, Hezekiah is a good king, especially after the sinful leadership of his father, Ahaz. His mother is mentioned, and surely, as I mentioned before, that probably, as you see that in Scripture, you'll see that at several different places about the king, maybe his mother was the one that really guided him to the Lord and guided him to follow him. He removed the high places, he destroyed the images and the idols that they were obeying, and God and disobeying God and worshiping. Even he destroyed the serpent that Moses made, and you remember when they were in the wilderness, when they began to sin and God sent serpents and the serpents began to bite the people. And of course the people went to Moses, and Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord told him to make a serpent made of brass. And if the people would believe and look to that serpent, that he would heal them. But you know, at this time, they had made that an idol. You know, they were worshiping what God had used to really remind them, and Jesus speaks about that in John 3, of course, the cross and what he would do. And they begin to worship the thing and not the Lord. You know, that's like religion today. A lot of people just kind of going through the motions and religion, so-called. Doing little cleansing things and all of that, but no true faith and no true service of the Lord, worshiping Him. That seems to be the trouble in religion. In verse 6, it seems to bring the events of his sickness at that same time as the Assyrians were battling that we studied last week. Now God answered the prayer of Isaiah and Hezekiah, and how we today need to realize the importance of prayer. You know, I think that's one thing that the church, I think there's so much we've forgotten. God has given us prayer. And of course, as James says, we have not because we ask not. And of course, it's so important. And of course, in our little church here, we're not very big, but of course, we have a long prayer list. We have a long prayer list. And how it is as a believer to pour your heart out and to pray for others in need. That's really one of the missions as Christians in the church, to win people to Christ and bring them in, but also to pray and to help each other. But as the Lord blessed Hezekiah, we see a kink in his armor. And we're told It's really pride is what it is. He got wrapped up with himself. The all-important thing for us, as God blesses our life and our ministry, is to always realize the glory always goes to the Lord. How pride can take that away from you. He allowed himself to do some foolish things by showing Babylon all the treasures of Judah. And of course, they were all prepared when they came a few years later in 588 BC and took them into bondage. They knew all where the treasures were, and they took that with them too. How we need to be praying and living for our Lord, for we're living in critical times in our day too. Let us remember to pass the gospel on. And let us not be as Hezekiah. I know he said that, and knowing and thanking the Lord that in his day that wouldn't be judgment. But you know how we need to, how he wasn't thinking about his children and his followers, his children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. How we need to do that too today, to realize, you know, you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior, you know you're going to heaven. But what about those around you, those who live around you, and of course your own children? How we need to be doing and giving of our time or talent and treasure to try to get out the Word of God and to share the message with others. Let's all bow our head just for a moment if you're here. And we always like to go through the gospel as we close. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Friend, the first thing you have to realize, you're a sinner. That you have no hope in yourself whatsoever. But to realize that Jesus Christ, God sent his Son, he's the one that can pay the price, and he did pay the price. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that means to trust and rely upon him and him alone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth on it should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you done that? Realized you're a sinner? And put your whole faith in him and him alone. If not, won't you do that today? Maybe as a Christian. Maybe there's things in our life that God's been speaking to us about. Apply 1 John 1:9. Confess and turn from it. You don't lose your salvation if you're truly born again. But the very fact is, you lose that close fellowship. And of course, confess it. Get that straightened out with you and the Lord. I'm going to be quiet for just a few moments, but if you feel led to come forward or just spend a few moments with him, and then we'll close in prayer.